This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Champions pose.
Champions pose. Up your nose with the rubber hose and a champions pose.
Ken's not here. That does not mean that I can't do our fabled champions pose. Juan Thornhill. We had the news yesterday during the show. By the way, Daryl Ryder is in for Kenny today. We've got Mitch Spinell, who's going to be burning his Yankee gear before the opening day. We've got Owen, who's still here commiserating with his Chiefs friends on the Reddit boards about the Chiefs losing in the Super Bowl.
They would have showed up at the White House, I'm just telling you that much.
We'll get to that. I do have a story on that. But wait a second. So Juan Thornhill, last time a Super Bowl team lost a player to the Browns, they ended up getting him back. That was John Johnson III, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want Juan Thornhill back?
We're good.
So that audio was from 2 years ago. Was Thornhill here 2 years?
Yeah, they signed him 2 years ago.
Okay. And
3-year contract. They got out of the final year because he was so terrible.
Yeah, because that was the first big name in free agency. And remember, the Browns fans and everybody was gearing up for this huge free agency frenzy. It just so happened Thornhill was the first. They ended up making some big signings on the defensive line. But Thornhill was the first, and that's all we had to react to after day one of free agency. So we came in today, and I think Ken thought we were going to throw a parade over Juan Thornhill. And I said, Kenny, I have no idea who that is. And I wasn't really, I was laying it on a little thick, but I was like, I don't know who that is. And I would wager to say our fans have no idea who Juan Thornhill is. And he lost his mind because Kenny is a football aficionado, even though he claimed to never watch the Super Bowl until recent years.
Right.
So he said he knew who Juan Thornhill was. And in the end, aren't we all glad we got to know Juan Thornhill over the last 2 years?
Juan Thornhill, I didn't even know he was on the team. If you look at a box score.
I did see a lot of videos yesterday.
Oh, man. The New Orleans half-hearted run down the field on the long touchdown, that will forever be etched in everyone's minds as far as how they will remember Juan Thornhill. And no play encapsulated Juan Thornhill's tenure with the Cleveland Browns quite like that one.
But if truth be told, I never knew when we would break down these plays the next day, the all 22, and then even when the media would get a chance to talk to the players, then later in the week, Jim Schwartz. I felt like we had so many breakdowns defensively that, in the end, we'll just chalk it up to Juan Thornhill. But it seemed like I couldn't tell who was responsible for most of it.
You got 22 games, all starts for Juan Thornhill.
Oh, give us the numbers.
0 interceptions, 4 pass breakups, 0 forced fumbles, 0 fumble recoveries. A lot of goose eggs here. 0-0-0. Oh, he did have 1 tackle for loss, and he hit a quarterback 3 times.
Okay. In the same game,
no sacks,
the same
by
play.
The way. 0 sacks. So a big old goose egg for Juan Thornhill. So in his next stop, I recommend that he wear the number 0.
Oh, come on, Daryl. That's a cheap shot. That is a cheap shot. We've got a huge show for you today. And thank you, Owen. I love anytime I can champions pose when Kenny is not here.
Kenny that got, makes it the best.
Feel bad. Kenny got rained out. One of his days at Disney got rained out, so he went to...
Yeah, I don't know if he really got rained out because he got to go to Daytona and go to the Hall of Fame, the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
Isn't that really what he wanted to do the entire time?
That's really the only reason they're in Florida.
I'm thinking that Kenny might have, I don't know, attached a fire hose over Orlando so he could go do that.
They strike up the banjos. Kenny, this whole trip, this entire trip was just to go to Daytona. Right over there, that's the sand. That's where they started racing, right over there on the beach.
Just the good old boys.
Yeah. Not going to see much of Danica Patrick over there, I'm sure, in that Hall of Fame. I was down there. True story, I covered the Daytona 500 one year for like 34 stations. So I had to have the revolving door mic flags, Daryl. So I had to
remember who you're representing at any time.
I've done that.
I remember those days.
They put me up in the worst. It was a motel. They put me up in a motel, but it was on the water.
I remember the days in my career where I actually used the mic flag when I was in a locker room.
Now you don't want people to know that you work for 92.3 The Fan. You're ashamed.
No, we just don't have any.
Borrow one of these.
They don't fit on them.
Come on, Daryl. I went down there and I didn't know anything about NASCAR. I had nothing. So I was sweating all week. Like, what am I going to do? I don't know the sport. And I tell Ken this and he loses his mind. He's like, you got to cover. I go, I got a swag bag somewhere at home. I got like a Daytona 500 swag bag. I met like the family of the owners. The PR guy was from Parkersburg. So we had dinner and Ken is losing his mind.
I know, because they're just so thrilled you're there covering it. So yes, they don't care. The access is just like the best.
And the meanest driver all week. Remember, all these drivers are millionaires and their teams are worth a fortune. And I did what I could. I waited outside. What would you even call it? This is how little I know. But outside of their... Every driver has their own area.
Oh, they're right? They're pit.
Well, whatever. I'm out there waiting, and no one else was waiting. I'm like, I got a tip that Danica was going to be there. And remember, this was like the first year or second year that Danica was out there. And she ever win? I don't think she ever won. I was out there. She was in all the commercials, all the Super Bowl commercials. Like Danica in NASCAR was this gigantic deal. And I waited there. And her dude comes out, like her muscle goes, she's not doing any media. And I'm like, no, she's right there. She's right there. And I thought she would come over.
Right.
And she's really short. I had no idea how short she was. She did not even look me, refused to look me. And that was
wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't even acknowledge
on.
Your presence?
Wouldn't even acknowledge. So
I could tell
I have
you,
as many wins at Daytona as Danica Patrick.
I could tell you a Baker Mayfield story about that, but I don't think I want to.
I think, Daryl, the floor is yours. Let's go. You're saying, is this why the media ran Baker Mayfield out of town? Is that why, Daryl? And you.
Let's go spill the tea, Daryl.
The Daryl Riders and the Zach Jacksons.
How do I want?
The Dan Lobbies. You guys
really
ran them out of
this
town.
Story? Do I really want to share this story right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is after a promotional thing. So here's the deal. When you go out and you cover someone's promotional event, the whole thing is that you get to talk a little ball with them as well. Okay, you ask a few questions about the event and whatnot, but you get to talk a little ball with them as well. So we do this. We go out for Baker. And mind you, this is in the middle of training camp, so it's like on our only day off.
Daryl, every day's a day off. You're in the media. Come on.
So we go out there. They do the big to-do. But we didn't get to ask any Brown stuff. So we're all hanging out, waiting around, and one of the reps is like, hey, did you guys get everything you need? We're like, no, we're waiting to talk some football with Baker, because that's kind of the thing. We did the fluff. Now
quid
it's time
pro
to
quo.
Right, yeah, because, you know, we're not just going to write about that. We want to write some other stuff, too.
Yeah, no one cares how you're benefiting the underprivileged youth of Northeast Ohio. Right. Let's get to the football.
So we...
It's more about the X's and O's than the Jimmies and Joes.
So we do a Lima. We're stalking the parking lot. Waiting. Just they go out to a trailer. We're like, there's there. So we're just going to all hang tight.
Oh, God, you're there all day.
Oh, yeah. And Baker knows we're there. I'm sorry, yeah. Baker's done doing media. And
how long were you there, you think?
We were there an extra 90 minutes to 2 hours after the event.
Did you and Mary Kay get to know each other?
No names. So we did designate someone who was going to handle this for the group.
You're going to have a pool reporter.
Well, no, to handle the intermediary here to get Baker to come talk to us. So basically it goes exactly how I thought it was going to go. He's not going to do it, right? So he eventually gets in his car with the missus. He drives over to us and yells at one person.
No.
And basically says, you should know better. And rolls up the window, hits the gas, flies out of the parking lot.
So did you trash his event afterwards?
No, just didn't write about his event.
Would you like to trash it now?
Oh, no, Darryl, come
absolutely
on.
Not. They may or may not be a client of the station these days.
Oh, man. Well, at least you tried.
We tried. We failed, but we did try.
Sure, I'm sure your bosses and everybody's bosses appreciated the effort going to an event for no reason other than right. for the betterment of the community. Because Baker and, you know, Browns over the years, all our sports teams have done a great job in the community.
You got the rated G version of that story, just so you know.
What year was this into his
tenure? I don't want to get into too many specifics.
Well, I will.
I just want to speak in generalities here at this
point. I'll give you a specific. Now we can directly attach cause and effect. Darryl and his cohorts, the Cleveland media, they ran Baker Mayfield out of town. They're responsible for Deshaun Watson. They're responsible for 3-14 last year. Congratulations, Darryl. We've been doing champions poses.
Way to go, Darryl.
Nice job.
Champions pose for me.
Unbelievable.
Reason we got the number two.
I'd have to say if there's anyone I love that I get credit for running people out of town. When I've never run anyone out of town, I don't think I have any influence whatsoever. But I will say this: if I did, I don't. I think I would have ran Deshaun Watson out of town by now.
You gotta try harder.
As of today, Deshaun Watson still a member of the Cleveland Browns football team.
I got news
but
for
not
you:
in town and hasn't been in town.
He's gonna be a member of the Cleveland Browns until that contract is expired.
It's a minor detail. Don't get hung up on that stuff. Okay, we're all here trying to pull and push in the same direction. We did have a story yesterday, sad story to report, that Guardians owner Larry Dolan passed away at the age of 94, longest tenured owner in the history of the ball club. Here is some sound yesterday from Afternoon Drive. This was very interesting yesterday, Darryl, because I was locked in. The news broke during the course of the day right here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. And here is Jonathan and Nick discussing the legacy of Larry Dolan.
I really think that the Dolan era might end up aging better than people realize, because I don't think people realize that stability was the name of the game under the Dolans. And I think stability is what's allowed you to be what the Guardians have been the last 25 years, which is wildly competitive in a financially non-competitive era for small market teams.
Well, and we got to give him credit too. And I think Gilbert's changed a lot with the Cavs in this regard, but obviously the Haslams have been very much in this space where they meddle constantly and they're constantly involved in not only the little things, but the day-to-day and the extreme franchise-altering decisions. Where I always gave the Dolans credit is that they hired smart people and they let smart people do smart people things.
When you hear that, obviously you've been in this town a long time. You have been a diehard fan of this team for a long time. What were your thoughts yesterday? Because I had a ton of thoughts, some of them conflicting, by the way, just swirling around in my head. As it really forces you, it's one thing to just open up the phone lines during the course of a July. What do you think of the Dolans? What do you think of the Guardians? Or in the offseason when we're never a player for any of the big free agents and the lack of spending is something that people bemoan all the time. Depends on the time of the year that you open up the phone lines on this debate. What was swirling through your head when the news broke?
Obviously, because I know a lot of people in that organization, certainly, you know, condolences to those folks who worked alongside Larry on a daily basis. But I agree with Nick and Jonathan. I think that the stewardship of the Dolans of the franchise has been amongst the best that you could ask for as a fan. The team is competitive on a regular basis. Yes, they've had their valleys. There's no question about that. They had a couple stretches where they went 5 years without making the postseason and whatnot. But they put a competitive product on the field. The ballpark is fantastic. They've done a great job maintaining that facility. They're not perfect, but you know what? They're not the Oakland A's owners or the Sacramento A's or whatever they're calling themselves this year.
They're just the Athletics.
Or the Athletics. I'm sorry. Thank you, Owen. They're like the Angels are changing their name every year. But like I just feel like that the Dolan ownership of this franchise has largely gone underappreciated by the fans and by the community. They could have gone to Nashville a couple years ago very easily. In fact, that was something that I had my antennas up on because Nashville was trying to put together a proposal to either lure a major league team, the Guardians or the Baltimore Orioles. They were hot on the trail wanting to do something like that because baseball wasn't ready to expand. And then that's when the new lease agreement at Progressive Field got done and this whole renovation project got put into place because the Dolans were committed to Northeast Ohio. They wanted to keep the franchise here. The easiest thing for them to do was to pick up and leave. We're one of the small, if not the smallest market in the country to have three pro sports franchises. So I agree with those guys. I think the Dolans are largely undervalued and underappreciated for the job they've done as owners of the Guardians.
All right, I want to know, how do you judge the legacy of a sports owner? And in particular, Larry Dolan, the Dolan family, 216-474-0092.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, some sad news from the Guardian side yesterday regarding the passing of longtime owner Paul Dolan at the age of 94, as you said.
Right, again, Larry Dolan.
Larry Dolan, excuse me. Paul Dolan's still alive as of now. Excuse me, Larry Dolan. The longest tenured owner in franchise history, bought the club in 2000 as Guardians manager Stephen Vogt. After yesterday's spring training game, shared his thoughts on Dolan after the contest.
Obviously didn't have an opportunity to meet Larry, but you know, the Dolan family has just been so great to the city of Cleveland and to this organization. It means a ton, and I know it's going to be a very sad time for the Dolan family, and you know, condolences are with them, and you know, we're thinking about them.
You know, as I was thinking yesterday, throughout the day, you know, it's such a stain on baseball that the conversations I saw people having here in Northeast Ohio were about how much money the owner spent, yep, as opposed to the fact that you'd have to decisively say, if you were to rank, we don't have time to power rank all 30 owners in Major League Baseball right now currently, or some of the owners that have, you know, departed over the years. And if you were to put them all in a big power rank,
like he's top five,
like without a doubt, the Dolans with their ownership group and organization are, I was going to say definitely top 10. You'd say top five.
Top five.
But that means that there are more, because there's been more than 30 owners. There's like 35 you definitely would rather have less 14, than the Dolans.
14 winning seasons, 9 playoff appearances, 7 American League Central Division titles, 3 AL Championship Series appearances, and they won the pennant in 2016.
So I asked the question heading into the break, how do you judge the legacy of an owner? Is if it's just, did they win a championship? I mean, this championship,
they were a rain delay away.
So few and far between in sports. Like, okay, there's one crowned every year. We just had a dynastic situation, or almost dynastic, depending on your definition, in the NFL. We had the Warriors win, you know, these championships in the NBA. You have the Lakers and the Celtics have so many of the championships. You have the Yankees with so many championships. Like, if we're just calling every owner that didn't win a championship a failure, well, then we got a lot of failures. Yeah. It's easy to revel in the world of failure.
Do you give the team what they need to be competitive? Yes, Larry Dolan did. Is the team competitive? For the most part, yes, they were. Does he maintain the legacy of the franchise? Yeah, he did. He has. Like, I get the frustration. Everyone remembers.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been since 1948, but considering the expanded playoffs, it's harder to get to the World Series now. It's no longer just the winners of the AL East and the AL West meeting in the AL Championship Series, mm-hmm. and the winner goes to the World Series. It's a layered playoff system now. They win the division, unlike one team in town. They make the playoffs on a regular basis, unlike another team in town. They put a team on the field that's regularly competitive, unlike one team in town. Did they win a championship? No. And if that's all you're grading as a fan, well, that's too bad for you because you're missing out on a lot of great memories and a lot of fun seasons.
I know we got to move on, but I'll just say the off seasons as a Guardians fan, they suck. They do. They also suck for 25 other teams. The regular seasons, they've been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of memories, a lot of great moments. And I think they've been a very, very good steward of the organization
stability.
In my lifetime.
They have this franchise hasn't hired a GM outside the organization since the 1980s.
And they never go backwards.
Nope.
No, they do not. So going from the game yesterday, which is a 4-3 loss in spring training for the Guardians against the Diamondbacks, no Josh Naylor on the field yesterday against his former team, but we saw home runs from the likes of Kyle Manzardo and Gabriel Arias. Now, Arias played third base yesterday, but votes saying that he could be in the mix for another infield spot this season.
It's probably where he's played the least in his career, but, you know, the thing about Gabby is no matter where you put him on the field, he's one of the best defenders at that spot. So Gabby's going to continue to get a lot of looks in a bunch of different places, and second base is one of them.
Second base potentially for Arias this season.
I know we're going to get to this a little bit later on in our spring training report, but obviously the story with Gabe is what? They're out of options? What do the Guardians typically do? Getting back to how we know this organization typically handle situations like this.
It's February 25th, so I don't know. Maybe a trade is incoming in the next 30 days.
So moving on from baseball to basketball last night, I don't even know if you guys saw the tweets from Darius Garland's page regarding the viral video on Sunday where the fan made the half-court shot at the Cavs Grizzlies games for $10,000. There was a look of Darius Garland, who didn't play that night, kind of behind the shooter. And he kind of had this weird look on his face that some people took notice on X and Reddit and all those places.
Because the shooter was going through a whole pre-shot ritual.
Yes.
Right.
Hamming it up a little bit.
Yeah, Daryl, you were there, and you were excited to talk about this dude hitting the half-court shot. What were you observing?
Well, I've seen like six of these things in the last month. It's been incredible. They're giving $10,000 away every game. It's fun.
Oh, is this dude getting everybody fired up?
Yeah, so he's back there. He was the last guy in line. Two guys hit the rim. Another one grazed the net. Shots were online. Crowd was ready to erupt. So this guy's doing he's rocking the basketball between the legs. And you could see Garland is, you know, kind of chuckling about it and having some fun with it. And then the guy runs up, throws it toward the hoop. It goes in. Building explodes. Garland starts cheering. The Cavs bench goes bonkers because, you know, another half-court shot went in. Like, I don't know why Darius had to try and defend himself on social media.
Well, he was getting crushed. I did see this yesterday because, you know, I am a regular on the Reddit boards. But the NBA...
You're the moderator on the Reddit boards.
The international NBA Reddit board, they were trashing Darius as if he was some bad dude because he was having fun at the guy's expense before. And he didn't in a million years think that the guy was going to hit the shot. Now, somebody said, supposedly, we need an investigation, that this dude has made these half-court shots in other arenas.
Oh, really?
So he keeps getting picked somehow. It's almost one of the... forgive me for the term in the industry... A prize pig. We have that in the radio world. I haven't seen him nearly as much.
I know.
But
I remember the old prize pig from days of yore.
I'll save that for off air.
Okay. And then we'll judge whether or not that's fit enough to go on the air. But this guy makes the shot, and the place goes nuts, and then Darius was celebrating.
Yeah, he celebrated on video that was captured by the Hoodie Garland X page, and then he retweeted that, and then even had to post saying, quote, I was not hating on my guy. That was his fifth emote he did in 10 seconds. Congrats on my guy, though, unquote.
His fifth emote? Is that a term the kids are...
Yeah.
Is that like risen and all that stuff?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Kind of. It's like... a physical
expression.
It was his fifth showing of aura in the last 10 seconds.
It's like when somebody says they're emoting.
Yeah.
Okay, it's being used the same way.
I will just say this, though. There are a lot of folks making half-court shots at Rocket Arena, and I do think there needs to be an investigation, especially done probably by the sponsor of this event.
Well,
who's writing checks every game?
People have been talking...
as long as you've got them and you're asking cash them, you can write checks.
Well, people have said... Does Adam Silver need to move back the three-point line? Well, if the fans...
Do the Cavs need to sign one of these guys?
Well, if the fans are making half-court shots with ease, do we need to move all the lines back? Has everybody gotten too skilled for the world of basketball?
Well, there was at least one air ball during this particular contest.
Yeah, that was from Max Strus.
You mentioned the NBA making some changes. The NHL made a change this year with the Four Nations tournament that everybody seemed to love this year. Got our show talking about hockey for the first time in a long time. But ESPN's Steve Levy was on Dan Patrick yesterday and saying that we may not see the Four Nations tournament in its current setting ever again.
This is a one-off. I don't think we ever see Four Nations again. This was a stopgap. Despite how successful it was, The NHL has already said they're going to do World Cup of hockey, and that could be eight nations, eight countries. So I think this is a one-off. I don't think we see Four Nations again in this exact format with the Olympics next year.
Wait a second. What are the nations even play hockey? I thought we had this perfect.
Well, basically anyone in Europe.
Yeah, we had Four Nations. This thing was the best it ever been. Like 10 million people watched an exhibition. Because that's what it was. We had it draped in patriotism.
Well, they had 12 fights in the first 9 seconds.
Right. Everybody was all about this. And you're telling me that's it? We're going to water this down and make it worse?
Well, that's typically what these pro sports leagues do, Lima.
Because they want to make more money.
Mongolia wants in.
Mongolia, Guam. I heard Guam territories want in on this.
The Slovenian countries would like a word.
This is very unfortunate. You had something perfect. They're going to get greedy. Because they didn't have enough games. They want more games. They want more teams. They want more booing. Don't let them lie to you. They want more booing of the national anthems.
There's a little deeper to that, though. They screwed up and the Olympics didn't allow professionals in for the last Olympics. I think it was just the last one. But that's where everybody was like, wait a minute.
They drew the line.
We took all this time off. And
right.
Yeah, so they added this and now,
best thing the Olympics ever did was allow NBA players in, and that gave us the dream team.
But now
now every Olympic Games, the Summer Games, I should say, what does everyone look forward to? The basketball tournament.
Yeah, feels like basketball has taken over.
I mean, I like the wrestling. But...
I watched you had me watching some wrestling last year, or last time they were in it.
Well, you're going to do it again, damn it.
Okay. It's a big wrestling show. Don't forget NCAA National Championships here next year.
Don't forget they're taking away our local
program. Might not have a local program to root for, but we have the Nationals. Thank you, Mitch.
That's it for About Last Night.
All right, Andrew Berry, 1 o'clock today, right here on 92.3, the Fannies at the Combine. We were going to carry that live and have instant reaction during Baskin and Phelps. So we'll have some fresh audio to reply to tomorrow. Daryl Ryder is in for Ken Carman today. And, oh, by the way, your Cavaliers have the best record in the NBA. If you're just waking up today, Oklahoma City lost last night in a tight one down the stretch. Big defensive play down the stretch against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And so here we are on top of the NBA world on February 25th, 216-474-0092. We will get to the Cleveland Browns coming up 15 minutes from now because plenty of Matt Stafford speculation, especially heating up in Indy at the Combine. Daryl, we have been talking about the passing of Larry Dolan. Now, this did get a lot of people wondering if this means that the Guardians, who right now there is a minority ownership right. by David Blitzer.
Yes.
And it's not his group, right? It's David Blitzer because a sports group that has stake in other, don't they have other baseball?
Yeah, well, he's part of the Washington Commanders ownership group. He, I think, has the New Jersey Devils, maybe the Sixers. He's got a bunch of
properties.
He is the primary minority owner of the Guardians. Matt Colig, Colig Companies, Colig Racing, Colig Media, is also a minority owner of the Guardians. He's part of like the Blitzer group of the, you know what I'm saying? So eventually here in the next couple of years, Blitzer will be taking over as the majority owner of the Cleveland Guardians.
I just saw there was speculation, especially yesterday with the news, that this could expedite the process, that, you know, Paul might have been waiting, while Larry Dolan was still alive, that they were going to hold on to the franchise. Have you heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that. I do know that when Blitzer acquired the minority stake in the ball club, part of the agreement included the option for Blitzer to take majority control of it. So now, whether or not the passing of Larry Dolan will expedite that process, I know the Blitzer group had a lot of feelings about the ballpark renovations and some of the areas of focus is for that project. I will tell you this, that once the team does officially change hands and Blitzer becomes the majority owner, I would look for some other things to move forward, possibly where the parking garage is, which the Guardians now own, the Gateway East garage between the ballpark and the Rocket Arena. The Guardians took control of that last July as part of their lease extension. They could potentially do a development by Progressive Field there. The Guardians, I don't know if people understand, they actually own the land that borders that garage in East 9th Street. They've owned that for a few years now.
So that wasn't a gateway?
No, that little plot of land right there with the trees and the park and the benches and all that, that actually the Guardians bought that a few years ago because they were beginning the plans of, hey, we could build like a ballpark village like we're seeing all throughout baseball, right? The Washington Nationals have one. St. Louis Cardinals have one. The Atlanta Braves, when they moved into their new ballpark a few years ago, they built one as part of that project. This is the new thing. I mean, we know what the Browns are trying to do in Brook Park with their development next to the Dome. So this is kind of part of the new. It's no longer just about building stadiums for these owners.
Sure.
It's about you're building the adjoining development. So I think that there's some other things that maybe the Dolans didn't want to get into right away. And it's all positive stuff. But I think that you could see some other, you know, Blitzer do some other things adjoining properties and things like that related to the ball club.
We're talking legacy, and I find it really, really fascinating that when I think, this is me, when I think of Indians slash Guardians in my lifetime, I think of a team that overachieved for most of my life. Yeah, the 90s teams should have won at least one World Series. So, you know, you could say that by and large, there was some underachieving there, even though those were my favorite teams in my life. And I still will look back fondly after all these years.
By the way,
you know,
I got
back to that era.
I got to correct myself real quick because it was 6 years. So you're looking at 2028.
Okay.
When the transition, because he bought into him in 22. So it's 6 years. I apologize.
All right. So I've always thought of them as overachievers, especially with the influx of the local TV money in New York and LA and how much more money those teams get to wheel and deal, how, you know, teams like the Guardians and our market size, they just don't spend. And we can have a conversation. Maybe it's not a different day. Maybe it's today, about whether or not you think that's because those ownership groups around baseball are hoarding money. That's what I've seen. Some Ken Rosenthal and some of the national
Pirates
reporters.
Owners are accused of it. The A's owners are accused of it. The Marlins owners are accused of it. In fact, I think I saw something where the Marlins need to actually spend some money, or else they're going to
violate the floor.
Well, yeah, they'll violate the floor, and a clause in the collective bargaining agreement will be exercised by the PA for a grievance process for not spending money.
But I have just looked at the way that this team has always been not only just competitive, but the fact that they have been the envy of the Major League Baseball. And it's always really been the Rays and the Guardians over the last how many years, that there's a reason so many of your front office members have been poached, because they do it the right way. They do it the best way for the resources. And so that's how I will always look at the Dolans. But yet I talk to people, I have friends that they have the exact opposite take. They feel like, you know, the Dolans have held them back, that they've hoarded money for themselves. And, you know, we're just all debating the books, of which none of these teams really open up their books ever. So it's a tough spot that baseball puts us in, that we have to even have those arguments.
What's interesting is when the Dolans took the team over back in, I think it was 2001, if I remember correctly, or no, it was in 2000, because they won the division in 2001. It was the last year of that glory, you know, the 90s dominance, right? The organization transitioned, right? Because they were finding hitters left and right in the 90s. And they built their team offensively, and then kind of occasionally they develop a pitcher, right? Remember the Jarrett Wright whole thing? They could have traded Jarrett Wright for Pedro Martinez, and they decided not to do it because of, you know, how good Wright was in the 97 World Series, and hindsight being 2020, they should have traded for Pedro. They should have done a lot of things in the 90s that they didn't do, but they shifted from the bats to the pitching, and then look at all the Cy Young Award winners they developed over the years, right? The franchise, Sam McDowell was the only Cy Young Award winner for the franchise in team, you know, and then they shift to this pitching focus, because they realized, hey, to be competitive in Major League Baseball, you got to have good pitching. And so that's where they invested their drafting and developing resources in arms. And it started with CC Sabathia back in 1999 when he was drafted and he became a Cy Young winner. You know, Cliff Lee, Corey Kluber, you know, just finding guys and developing them. And so that was a major organizational shift. But as we've gone down the line, going back to Hank Peters back in the late 80s, when Richard Jacobs bought the then Cleveland Indians, they were the laughingstock of baseball, obviously the genesis of Major League and all that, right? You know, Hank Peters developed John Hart. John Hart developed Mark Shapiro. Mark Shapiro developed Chris Antonetti. Chris Antonetti developed Chernoff. You see what I'm saying? And so it's such an impressive feat. And I give the most credit I give the Dolans, aside from the fact that they consistently field a quality product, even though they don't spend like the big boys because they're millionaires in a billionaire's game, is that they're stable. And they basically, you know, they hire smart people to run the operation, and they step back and let. The most controversial thing, obviously, that has happened under their ownership was the name change. That was a very difficult thing for them to
do.
And
I think that's going to be part of the legacy of this family as well. We're running out of time in this segment, but that's a whole other can of worms to get into. I mean, we could do 3 hours.
All I know is all the people said they were never going to a Cleveland baseball game again. A lot of people went to Cleveland baseball games last season. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the fabric of the community, and you know, whatever you call them.
Would you rather them be the Guardians, or the Cleveland Guardians, or would you rather be them the Nashville, whatever they'd be,
or the Indians and lose with another ownership group?
Yeah.